Don't go. AFK on us.
Follow us online at checkpointxp.com.
Checkpoint AFK.
Welcome into Checkpoint AFK on B-Pod Studios, the place to be for podcast discovery. This is Checkpoint XP's lifestyle show. From cosplay to consoles, we cover everything you care about when you're away from your keyboard. Joining
What's up,
me,
nerds?
My name's Nate Bender. Joining me today, I've got a full cast. We've got Weird Beard. Hey. We've got Chad Callahan, Robbie Landis, and of course, Norris Howard.
As always.
Chad, get some glasses, you dang two-eye.
What? Leave me alone. I don't want to be bullied for my non-need of glasses at all times.
You darn two-eye. That's a new insult that I have.
That's like
heard.
That's like a 2120 like insult. Yeah. Like in the future when we all have like.
When we just come out of the womb with bad eyes.
No, we come out of the womb with extra eyes.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
it sounds like the radiation.
Sounds like the Simpsons fish. Like
yeah,
literally.
Exactly. Yeah, right. It's like, oh, you two-eye. Where are you, a Neanderthal?
I hope in the future that we regain transatlantic accents. That's what I hope. I just want to, you know, come on, you Don Two-Eye. Like, I just think that
would be amazing. When we get to the days of cyberpunk, you won't have to worry about, you know, oh, can I pull that accent off or not? You just download the accent. So
that is true.
Very well. Okay. That could be a new and emerging trend.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that was an option that we could download
the
accent.
Not yet. 2021.
But in 2120.
Okay.
For sure.
Well, welcome into Checkpoint AFK. Appreciate you guys being here. Today, we're going to be talking about video game movies, a subject that we have talked about multiple times here on the show.
Probably the only topic more than loot boxes.
True. However, there has been a recent development, and that, of course, is the Sonic the Hedgehog movie, released to the highest grossing box office, even above Detective Pikachu, which blew me away because I thought Detective Pikachu was a way better film. Blown away box office records for video game adaptations. So we're going to talk about that among other video game adaptations for TVs and movies. Yes,
yeah.
That's absolutely correct. So that's going to be what we're talking about here today on Checkpoint AFK. But first,
reviews.
We always like to start this show off with Apple Podcast reviews.
I saw somebody tweet us that they left one, so I know there has to be at least one in there.
There is at least one, and it's a good long one.
So I thought he was going to say the news, and I was having like a Top Gear flashback. He's like, but first, the news, and I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah. I miss Top Gear so much.
I know. The good original Top Gear with all of the...
Can we get the first curse word out of the way? Jeremy Clarkson, that's his name?
Yeah.
Asshole.
There you go. Cool. So, yes, we have tons of reviews, actually, across all of the different shows. There's a second review for Checkpoint XP on campus.
Very nice.
I love seeing that. I think there might even... No, there's not. We do have a new review for Checkpoint AFK left to us from Deadpool X007. So thank you, Deb.
That's an interesting crossover.
I'd watch it. I'm cold.
You know what?
James Bond crosses over with Deadpool?
First of all, it's
the
not
new
a
one.
First of all, it's not a movie. It's a comic. Okay.
I like that.
And why choose just one? It's Deadpool.
I mean, Deadpool, facts. But if you had to pick one.
I
pick Roger Moore.
No, I still think Sean Connery Deadpool.
Actually,
would be a wonderful
Timothy
thing.
Dalton.
Yeah, Timothy. That's where
Timothy
I would
Dalton, because he'll go hammy enough.
Yeah.
So
that's
probably
fair. I want Sean Connery now. Not like Sean Connery.
Sean Connery is like dust.
Yeah,
he's like skin. I think he's such
he's
a great
like skin
buddy
and
cop duo,
skin,
buddy spy duo.
He's skin, dust, and beard. Like that's it. Like,
although if you put him in the role of 007 today, that would be
more funny.
Sean
would be
Connery
funny.
Has been old my whole life.
That's true. That's true.
The whole plot of that movie could be just Deadpool trying to make him 007 again, and then like him failing, but like Deadpool like fixing his.
All right, facts. I like that
idea.
That's not a bad idea.
Getting Sean Connery back on the horse again.
Yeah, I like it.
So Deadpool X007 leaves us a 5-star review.
Ooh, shit.
The title of his review being, there's a reason there's so many 5-star reviews.
Awesome. Motherfucking right.
That's a good point.
Awesome. Deadpool X007 says, I'm not sure what the name is on here. I'm on my brother's account, but it's me, TeddyB1993. Oh, okay. So we got swerved.
Oh, okay. Swindled.
We got swerved. So TeddyB1993 writes in and says, this is a show that is not only good, but so knowledgeable as well. I've been listening to them for quite some time, and through all the changes and improvements, it's still so good. Their opinions on topic. Just one? Really?
That one topic. We talk about movies. We talk about movies and loot boxes.
Yes. I feel like that should be like a Mad Libs insert. Their opinions on topic really get you thinking outside the box. It's a fresh perspective from a popular opinion, and they don't shove it down your throat. You just open up your mind a little bit more to everything. Listening to them is also like being in class about gaming and esports. I don't know if that's a compliment.
I'll take it as a compliment as an intellectual.
He gave us 5 stars.
I get more knowledgeable on these topics each episode I listen to. They have so much fun facts that I would have never known. It's so great to get your source from people who actually know what they're talking about.
Motherfucking right.
It's so fun listening to their shows. I'll always recommend anything from the Checkpoint crew. Keep up the amazing work. Thank you, TeddyB1993, masquerading as Deadpool X007. We appreciate your review here on Checkpoint AFK. Remember, if you want to have your review read here live on the program, because we do this show live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp, send in your Apple Podcast reviews. There's only one way to do it, and that's to go to Apple Podcasts. Look up Checkpoint AFK and then just leave us a little review there.
So what do you think? Like, can we ask people to put a word in there or something? Like, so we know that they heard it from this. What word should they use in a review next?
So you're saying like a word per week?
Yeah.
To say that they heard this specific
episode. That way we know that you heard it from this episode. Sure. Otherwise, it's like just a generalized whatever.
All right. Zucchini. Hulk hands.
I was going to say Weird Beard sucks, but all right.
Hulk hands.
Better than zucchini.
No, the word of the week. No, there we go. The word of the week or phrase of the week is Hulk hands.
All right.
If you put it in a review podcast, we know you got it from listening right here.
From this episode, you must include Hulk hands.
Use the phrase Hulk hands in your next review for Checkpoint XP so that we know that you actually
heard it.
That's
right. Use the phrase Hulk hands for 5% off your next order.
It's pretty cheap when it's already free.
So. I wonder if we could actually get a coupon code for that for the store.
Let us talk about it because I'm sure we could.
I'm sure we could. This week, coming up on Checkpoint AFK, we're going to be talking all about video game movies. Of course, the Sonic the Hedgehog movie just being released this last week. And I think most of us here have seen it. So we'll, I'm sure, talk about Sonic the Hedgehog as well as the Dragon Quest Your Story, a really interesting movie that found its way to Netflix that... Listen, I'm going to just go ahead and recommend it right now. If you haven't seen it yet, actually take this opportunity to go watch it.
Because before we talk about it.
I have a feeling that we're going to be spoiling it. So,
unfortunately.
Spoiling the hell out of everything.
Go take a moment and go check out Dragon Quest Your Story on Netflix. We're going to talk about it next. Here on Checkpoint AFK.
We're not going to spoil Sonic?
No! I mean...
What is there to spoil?
Is there anything to spoil on Sonic? I don't think there is. Stick around. Coming up on Checkpoint AFK.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I'm Rachel. Rachel.
And I'm Michaela.
And we are from the Theme Park and Rec podcast. So if you visit the parks often, or maybe you're planning a trip to any of the Central Florida theme parks, we even talk about Disneyland too, you definitely want to check out our podcast because we have tips, we have secrets, and we give you options on how to really maximize your time at the parks.
Download and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Esports is the fastest growing area in collegiate athletics, and Checkpoint XP on campus keeps you up to speed on all the exciting action.
From varsity and club esports tournaments to college curriculums focused on gaming, each week, Checkpoint XP on campus brings you more than just stats and scores.
We're digging to school rivalries, scouting, scholarships, and talking with players and coaches.
Catch new episodes of Checkpoint XP on campus Thursday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
And on demand 24/7 on YouTube, Twitch, radio.com, and always at CheckpointXP.com.
Catch new episodes of Checkpoint XP on campus Thursday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and on demand 24/7 on YouTube, Twitch, radio.com, and always at CheckpointXP.com.
Checkpoint XP on campus, the show for collegiate video gaming and esports.
Don't go AFK on us.
Follow us online at CheckpointXP.com.
Checkpoint AFK.
Welcome back to Checkpoint AFK on B-Pod Studios, the place to be for podcast discovery. Also stream live over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Make sure you go check out the Twitch page. Give us a follow. We've got tons of great streams that go down every single weekday there. And you can also catch new episodes of Checkpoint XP on campus every Thursday at 10 p.m. Make sure you check it out. CheckpointXP.com. And if you miss those broadcasts, you can find all of that content over at CheckpointXP.com. This week on the National Radio Show, we were talking about the brand new Sonic movie and how underwhelming that was. And actually, I'd like to actually start at a different place than the Sonic movie. I actually want to start at the Dragon Quest Your Story movie that is currently on Netflix.
Okay, cool. A film I actually took the time to watch.
I appreciate
part
that.
Of it.
Appreciate that. So we actually got sent a the way that this landed on our radar, we actually got sent a press release about it, posted it to the website, and in that it had a trailer. And the trailer was remarkably good. I was like, oh, it's an animated movie. That's cool. It is very loyal to the Akira Toriyama artwork.
CG
looks phenomenal, especially that villain. The kind of Kefka clown-ish villain.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure is Mark Hamill's voice. Did anyone
really
hear that? I'm
going to
double
check
here.
Yeah, double check, because I'm not sure.
Please double check.
It was Mark Hamill-ish.
Yeah, it was
very Mark
Hamill. Whoever
Hamill-ish
it was doing their best Mark Hamill impression.
Yeah. Watch it be Yuri Lowenthal.
I will say that villain distracted me because the chin balls really were distracting.
The chin testicles?
Yeah. The chin testes.
Yeah.
I was like,
It was a little weird.
And it almost looked like there was like little hairs on it. I was just I can't.
So this movie was actually adapted from Dragon Quest V.
Yes. One of the most beloved installments
is
of
that really?
Dragon Quest.
I did not know that. Didn't know that.
Yes.
So you got a couple of really interesting things here at play. The designers,
the
directors.
He's not on here anywhere, but damn, did it sound like him, man.
The directors of this project had a unique set of challenges set in front of them because they needed to cram what is essentially an 80-hour RPG into
90 minutes.
Something no one's been able to do thus far.
At least not in a satisfying way. Mm-hmm. And what Dragon Quest was really bad at was its pacing.
I
thought its pacing moved entirely too quick.
So I have the ability to, like, certain films I can skip through and get... I know what's happening. And I knew you had said that previously, so I was expecting that.
Right.
So anytime I saw, okay, this is about to be a block of dialogue, I've played enough, you know, I've read enough about Dragon Quest, I know, okay, princess,
you know, whatever, I get this part. So I'm trying to skip through those long dialogue parts of character exposition. And I'm like, oh, shit, we're in a whole different, like, locale.
Yes, we are.
And, you know, so I found myself having to go back and I was like, I maybe should just watch this the whole way through when I get a chance. But that is very difficult even to sit through in one sitting when stuff jumps around that fast. Yeah, so yeah. I agree with you. That'd be the one thing that I would say that I noticed.
The hardest part that I had to watch.
Yeah, the hardest part.
I was just like, okay.
There was very little transition from one place to another. And we're talking about a story that, you know, goes through multiple generations of a family,
yes,
too.
Yeah.
You know,
which is weird.
It is weird because you don't get that a lot in RPGs. You know,
I think Saga Frontier 2 is the only other time I remember it.
The idea of a story told over multiple generations is fairly unique. And I really liked that aspect of it. And so, you know, yeah, you had to move through space, spanses of time very quickly.
Yeah.
And it can be a little bit discombobulating. But I think that they did a good job at condensing so much content into a short consumable period of time.
Well, I mean,
what I think I would have liked more, though,
yeah,
is I think I would have liked this to be a series more that would have, you know, between episodes, maybe jumped from time period or
a la The Witcher
location.
Yeah.
Not quite as randomly as The Witcher does, because The Witcher, it disorients the audience to make you go, okay, when is this even taking place among the series of episodes that I'm watching? Not even trying to put context around it in the greater series.
I actually disagree. I actually think it for as difficult as that is, I think it works as a film still.
I think making it a series fixes that pacing issue.
But I think if you make it a series, unless you do it as a mini series where you only do 3 or 4 episodes, I think if you try to make it 8 or 9 or whatever, you will lose people. Because it's not like, in my opinion, it's not like Dragon Quest is the type of RPG that pulls in people with its, like, super, you know, deep, robust character building. It's not that kind of series.
You get a basic sort of like sketch of the character, and then the character's journey. It's a hero's journey story.
It's literally the antithesis of like a Final Fantasy, right?
Yes.
Like where Final Fantasy is all character development. All character. If you took characters out of it, you couldn't tell. Like 90% of it is just dealing with watching cutscenes and whatnot.
Right.
This is all just, hey, go kill things and save a princess.
Yeah, and so I think if you make that a series, that becomes a lot harder to try to do over 8 episodes.
But to Nate's point, and this isn't even just for this movie as well, I just think video games in general, if you want to be able to stay as true to the story as possible, you would need more than just a movie. But what was great about Dragon Quest, Your Story, is, you know, when we take the ending into consideration, I think that suddenly the pacing doesn't become an issue for me because it's not about the story that you thought you were being told.
Right.
See, I think that's a really, really big
point. I will say, if I watched a whole series and then that last episode was the ending of the movie, I would have been just much more irritated.
Would you feel like kind of like blue balled?
I would have been, well, mainly, I mean, with the movie, at least I can understand. I'm probably jumping ahead with the ending bit, but like at least with the story, I could at least be like, okay, fine. Like I spent this hour and a half and it makes sense, whatever.
Yeah.
But if I spent like week after week, and if it was like Apple TV where they make you wait or whatever, or not Apple TV, Disney Plus, I would have been irritated.
Really?
I don't like
waiting until the end and then the ending be completely
different. No, I'm with you because I feel like if you stress that out over 8 episodes, you start delving into the "it was all a dream" tropes.
It was all a dream.
Yes. that you know, some sitcoms or other TV shows have done, and how much people hate that shit.
Sure.
And so I think with a film, it just works better.
That plot point people in general hate, I think mostly because of the way that it's presented.
It's lazy in most contexts.
In most contexts.
This is unique, though.
Exactly.
It's uniquely lazy. Yes.
Well, no.
It makes more sense here than in real life, where it's like, it was all just a dream.
Hang on. Well, I think also if it was a series and it was a week over week series, not like, you know, Netflix, here's all the episodes, go and binge them. If it was a week over week thing, I think little clues that tell you about what the ending is.
Yeah. Like, for example, like when he switched who his love interest was going to be.
Yes.
When he made that realization.
Yes.
Most of us looked at that and probably just thought, oh, it's a nice nod to the game.
It's a cool way to stylize that.
Yes.
Right? That's what I thought at the time. But I think if I had had more time to sit and think about it, that I might have been able to
see it coming.
Yes.
Well, I mean, even in the beginning when it starts out showing the actual game,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
We're like,
oh,
we're
doing
quests and stuff like that. That actually at the beginning bothered me a little bit. I'm like, I don't want to see you have to read all this dialogue. How long is this going to go on for?
Yes.
But it was actually an amazing way to start it. And it's one of those films, and I think what you're doing right here, Chad, is your opinion is based on what you would have rather it had been.
Yeah.
I had a cousin once that hates, to this day, the movie WALL-E, because after seeing it, she's like, I didn't think it was going to be a funny movie. She didn't want to go see a comedy, so she hates the movie when that's what it was supposed to be, right?
I mean,
once this finishes and you get to the end, all the choices that were made up to that point make a different kind of sense. And I think that's something that's brilliant about it.
And I think even kind of going, circling back around to the pacing issue, knowing the end makes the pacing issue make a little bit more sense, too. We'll tell you what the end is. We're getting there. Yeah, we're talking about this in kind of vague terms. But I do think that, Dragon Quest as a movie sets up this story to be subverted in the end and does it really well. Like, by the time it happened, it caught me so off guard and so by surprise.
And it was presented well, too.
It really was. I don't get surprised by movies anymore. I don't get surprised by television series. I usually, because I'm involved with producing them in some way, I can usually read what's going to happen a few beats out.
And this even gave you clues that you still...
Yes!
Yeah.
That I ignored! That was the smartest part of it, is that
ignored them.
It hid clues in plain sight, and as soon as it revealed the end, it made me go back and go, oh, that's what that was. And to me, that's really smart.
I think I agree with you guys that I think it was presented brilliantly, and I'm not saying that I don't think that it was I'm not saying I think it was bad or anything like that. I actually love the ending. I think the ending of it is absolutely great. I just think even if you stretch that out, you become like what Westworld is, which is a jumble of mess that is supposed to be a meta, a meta narrative or a meta conversation.
It's like stretching the end out over the whole thing. And that's
like, Westworld should have been a one season miniseries.
Correct.
That should have ended when we found out that Westworld was a theme park and that all those people were robots.
Yeah.
That should have been the end of it.
I get what you're saying then, because you're right. Having more episodes would have fixed the pacing issue, but again, when you know what the film is, the pacing isn't an issue, so
correct,
you don't need extra episodes.
No, and I'd be inclined to agree with it, but I see Chad's point as to say, like, if it was a series and that was the end, I would feel cheated too. In a way, I would feel cheated.
You know what it's like? It's okay. None of you watched American Horror Story, probably.
I did every season.
Okay, the apocalypse season.
Okay,
it was exactly like how all these kind of characters at the very beginning didn't matter. First three episodes, they're gone. It's like, okay, well, why did I even care about that? And then there's these new, like, all these other characters, and then the very end, they do some time warp bullshit in the episode. And then nothing the characters did leading up to that mattered, and it was like a whole different story, and it was just like, why did I take this journey? And that's
the
kind of stuff that I don't like.
No,
I'm not saying I didn't like this version of it.
I actually now, though, disagree with you, because the whole point of the movie was that these journeys do matter.
Yes.
So even if it was this eight episode long thing at the end, then you're like, well, I feel like that means nothing matters. Then you're missing the point.
Yeah. I mean, so let's actually talk about what the ending is. So the game, the story unfolds as you would
imagine the game would,
right? And at the very end, as you're going up against the big bad, as the main character is going up against the big bad.
Chin balls.
Chin balls. The main character's son takes the sword ex machina.
The sword of destiny.
Yeah, the sword of destiny. Yeah, the deus ex machina, and throws it into this big portal that you've been there, that the main character has been trying to keep closed, right? And when that happens, it's like
fuckery ensues.
Everyone thinks that's the win. The end.
Suddenly you get transported into reboot. And yes, and yes. Right, like,
I love reboot.
And Hexadecimal comes down and basically tells both the audience and the main character, you are in a game right now. This is a game. Everything that you see around you,
he turns off colors, he turns off textures, yes. He basically gravity. Dismisses it all.
Yes. Yeah. And saying, like, you wasted your time. You're a loser. Like, and the implication, and they may have said it outright, is that, you know, this is a virus that has been...
He does. He says, I'm a virus made by a
hacker. That has been programmed into the, you know, that has been hacked into the game for the purpose of ruining people's good time. Because what the reality is, in the real world of this movie, there's a kid who went to a VR station.
Well, he's an adult now.
In what is essentially, yeah, like a this young giant, adult. He's a giant, young adult. This giant, like, orb. It's like a VR type thing.
It's like
thing.
A VR station.
And yeah. They even tell him, like, when you go in, all of your memories will be erased temporarily so you can live out the game like it's the first time you've ever played it. And so you suddenly realize that the whole movie you've been watching somebody play through a game the entire time.
And even those little hints, like, you know, selecting which, you know, princess to date or whatever, you know, it's so clever in the way that it kind of presents that as a aesthetic, as well as
we just think it's an Easter egg or a nod to the game.
As well as an aesthetic choice.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And so I like when they finally pull that, like when they finally hit that punch, like I don't know, at least me, I was like, I did not fucking see this coming.
Even when the giant hexadecibel thing is like smashing down into the world, I'm still like, what? What's like, happening?
Yeah, exactly. Right. So, you know, like, I don't know. I any time a movie can surprise me like that, I'm already
and then hit you
I'm
with
already
the feels because he has this long monologue about how games
that's the second part
you know matter and what they mean to us and the journeys that we take.
Yes, exactly.
You know, go play Spelunky. Weird beard.
I just think it's so rote. I think it felt very like a kid.
I mean, not that like, part is a bit. It's a bit hammy.
It is.
No, that, it is for sure.
It's
hammy.
But it's heavy-handed. But at the same time, though, it's cutting to the core of why are you watching a movie about a video game in the first place?
Because I had to for work.
Okay, you know what? Hold on. Excuse me.
You don't count.
Excuse me. We're not going to take the opinion from someone who got so butthurt about the fact that he might have to share his Animal Crossing village with his daughter.
Yes.
Okay.
Honestly, I think that there's a really great message there that everyone who connects to video games can connect to. You know, like anyone who's a fan of video games knows, you know, like you can't really articulate. Well, like I can't really articulate, especially now because I don't remember the beats of the game very well, why Legend of Dragoon is like one of my all-time favorite games.
Even if you take something,
but it will always be one of my favorite games.
But even if you've taken something recently, if you take any Metal Gear Solid game,
absolutely,
and try to explain that to someone who's never played it or never played a game before, they're gonna look at you like you're a lunatic.
Metal Gear.
I mean, the thing is that I appreciated it even though it was ham-fisted because it's specifically talking about RPGs, which has traditionally been a hard genre of game to try to express to someone why you like it.
Right.
So you could talk to somebody, oh, I love NBA Jam. Duh, who doesn't? I love Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat. Duh, who doesn't? But you say, oh, man, Final Fantasy VI is one of the greatest stories I've ever read, whether it be movie, film, TV, novel, it doesn't matter. It's one of
the best. That's a divisive opinion.
And people will go, what? Oh, my God.
Better than Moby Dick?
Better than The Catcher in the Rye? First of all, that overrated piece of shit book.
Anyway, a good author.
Anyway, but...
It's the fact that they were talking about RPGs and how people specifically connect with the characters in that style of game. And I think that was important to me because I look at a character like, you know, Locke or, you know, Edgar from FF6. And I go, those are some of my favorite characters ever written, period.
Yep.
And I can't explain that to the average motherfucker, not at all.
I
appreciated them acknowledging sort of the personal experience and the personal connection that people can have with these games and not necessarily make it this whole collective thing. Because every time we talk about video games, it's about, oh, the collective and how we connect to it and we can share this. Now, I don't give a fuck if you like six or not. It's my favorite FF, period.
You know what's weird is like how an ending like that where it talks about the collective, like, you know, it's an experience we all share and everything. Yeah. Do you think that this movie would have been received differently in like the early 2000s, late 90s, when it wasn't like gaming was seen as like a solo endeavor type thing, right? Like it was still single player games. There wasn't,
I'm gonna tell you when
stuff.
It would have resonated the best. It would have resonated the best in an era where console gaming was still the dominant thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think now that online gaming and PC gaming has sort of shifted that way, and everybody knows gaming now as a social experience as well as a personal experience, I think it would have hit harder, but I don't think they would have had the technology nor the storytelling acumen to be able to pull it off.
I'm going
to
disagree with you, and here's why. I don't think that the gamer self-identity really hit the mainstream until 2006, 2007, somewhere in that area, right? Like
in the post G4 era.
Gamer as a self-identity or as a way to try to distinguish yourself among other people, you know, I would say that was a very, very small portion of the population until about the mid-2000s when, you know, we started to see YouTube Let's Plays and Twitch and, you know, video game podcasting. You're right. The post kind of G4 world, all of those different things started to balloon and people went, I mean, like, take me, for example. I used to self-identify and stratify myself along my music taste, and that shifted somewhere along to video games in that same period of time. So, yeah, no, I don't think you would have been able to pull at the same heartstrings that you would have in 2020 back in like 1990.
No, but this is an important distinction because I do see what he's saying as well. Nowadays, even though more people are identifying as gamers, there's still, I think, a very small subset of us that were affected in the same way that RPGs did. Nowadays, everyone's about Overwatches, Fortnites, right? It's this collective, single
It's the experience of gaming in and of itself has changed very drastically.
Absolutely.
And so you're not very often having the same experience of, I am sitting in a room by myself at my mom's house playing a video
but
game.
That, being that, affected the, by me, it on yes, like this but, emotional
but
level.
But that self-identity is actually a really part of a really important part of the equation.
I agree.
Because
I agree.
Once you develop the self-identity, you start trying to find other people like you, and that's when the conversations about video games start.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Now, no, I think because of those two things, I don't know that we can look back and say there was a perfect time, because I think the gamer identity becoming widespread is because of the games becoming what they have. And so if there was a perfect time for those two things to line up, it was very, very
small. It was very narrow.
I think now.
I mean, now's as good a time as any, for sure.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think we're hitting critical mass point in terms of, you know, a subculture sort of thing, to where
in terms of a subculture
moving into the mainstream, like we're almost there.
Yeah,
like,
it is, I was about to say, like, I don't think
like that.
I don't think we're quite like mainstream
Agreed.
yet. But I think in the next 10, 15 years, there won't be people who go, oh, you, I don't.
It's what
I,
kind of gamer
won't be people,
are you?
Yeah, it won't be people who say, yeah. I don't really play video games.
Kind of how it is. I mean
it's
in
there, for sure.
Exist, but I don't know. My last thing about the movie, and I'll kind of end it there. I would have liked the movie and the ending a lot more if it wasn't a Dragon Quest story.
No. Okay. You know what? That segues into what I want to say, because this is to me what was most impressive about it, is I've never played a Dragon Quest game in my entire life, mm-hmm. right? But at the end, that speech, as ham-fisted as it may have been, still gave me the feels for how I used to feel about JRPGs
and a number of different games.
That it's been a while since I've felt that. The last game was probably the Mass Effect games, mm-hmm. and as a result, I've been slowly putting, like, 10 minutes at a time into Dragon Quest 11. Like, I'll pick it up for 10 minutes and then put it back down after having done, like, two lines of dialogue.
It's actually a really good game for that, though.
I am now another, like, 4 hours into it since this movie. And,
nice.
And I am starting to actually like quite a bit about it.
Yeah, I think that was a big thing for me, too, is that, like, I've never had a really big attachment to the Dragon Quest series. So having it be attached to a Dragon Quest movie was a little bit weird for me because I didn't feel that same attachment. Right. If you had put this with a Final Fantasy movie, I would have been bawling by the end of it.
But precisely of what me and Rick were talking about, I don't think you can do it with Final Fantasy because Final Fantasy has too many strong characters.
No, I agree with that.
The point of why having it as Dragon Quest is because you pretty much can just rip out your own personality, throw it onto the main character, and it's you. That's the whole point of the story that they were trying to tell, plus the ending.
The last thing I would like to point out here that's like sort of like the weird, you probably didn't notice this yourself, but because that kid was in there, that guy was in there living out his whole life, and you had the attendant probably outside watching the game unfold, he had a kid in there, which means at some point that attendant was watching him
do
the dirty in the virtual world.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Well, they skip over that crap.
I mean, for us, they did. Thank God. Hit it with a fade to black, and then bam, kid.
How long is the kid in there? Like, how?
I mean, it was only a few hours. But as you know, when you dream, any dream that you have, no matter how long it seems, is actually only about 4 or 5 minutes long.
Yeah. Don't you remember Inception?
Come on, man. Time dilation.
Sure, but I don't know how they're gonna translate that to VR in the future. But maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, listen, you'd be surprised how many computations the brain does.
Most powerful computers right up here.
It's right up there in the old noggin.
So I think the last thing that I want to mention about Dragon Quest,
your story. Motherfuckers have said the last thing we about to say about this shit three times.
But this is the last thing.
Okay.
Is that, like, I appreciated the ending speaking to, you know, our collective experience as gamers, because where else was that going to go? Like, where else was that story going to go? Oh, you save your mom who's being held by the villain, and then yay, you get to
happily
be
ever after.
I mean, you know, like, she doesn't make it, so I was like, I'm just cool.
No, but he's saying if it didn't end that way, if it ended just how you wanted it to, which is just the end of the story. You just wanted an ending to the story? Like, nothing would have set it apart at that point. It would just been another fantasy film.
Exactly.
That's part of what makes it brilliant, is you're right, is that without that ending,
it's a pretty okay fantasy film with pretty terrible pacing.
Yep.
But you know what didn't have that? The Sonic the Hedgehog movie.
Great pacing.
And I think it was worse for it.
It had good pacing. It had to go fast.
Stop. I'm done.
Boo! We're going to talk more about video game movies when we come back on Checkpoint AFK.
Esports is the fastest growing area in collegiate athletics, and Checkpoint XP on campus keeps you up to speed on all the exciting action.
From varsity and club esports tournaments to college curriculums focused on gaming, each week, Checkpoint XP on campus brings you more than just stats and scores.
We're digging to school rivalries, scouting, scholarships, and talking with players and coaches.
Catch new episodes of Checkpoint XP on campus Thursday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
And on demand 24/7 on YouTube, Twitch, radio.com, and always at CheckpointXP.com. checkpointxp.com.
Catch new episodes of Checkpoint XP on campus Thursday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and on demand 24/7 on YouTube, Twitch, radio.com, and always at checkpointxp.com.
Checkpoint XP on campus, the show for collegiate video gaming and esports.
Hey, I'm Rachel.
And I'm Michaela.
And we are from the Theme Park and Rec Podcast. So if you visit the parks often, or maybe you're planning a trip to any of the Central Florida theme parks, we even talk about Disneyland too, you definitely want to check out our podcast because we have tips, we have secrets, and we give you options on how to really maximize your time at the parks.
Download and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Don't go AFK on us.
Follow us online at checkpointxp.com.
Checkpoint AFK.
Welcome back to Checkpoint AFK on BPod Studios, the place to be for podcast discovery. Today on Checkpoint AFK, we're talking about video game movies. Started off talking about Dragon Quest Your Story, which, by the way, if you didn't know, you can go watch that now on Netflix. But the other big movie that came out this week, Sonic the Hedgehog.
Sonic.
To the highest box office gross for a video game movie ever.
I just looked up where it's currently at. It's nearly at 140 million, which now puts it a quarter of the way to the highest grossing video game movie of all time.
Which, what is the highest grossing video game movie of all time?
Warcraft, actually.
That's disappointing.
What?
Yeah, it is.
Did you ever, hang on. No, Robbie, you're actually a World of Warcraft player and a Warcraft fan. Did you ever see it?
I did. Not in theaters. I waited in...
You saw it on a plane.
Somewhere else. I don't know.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Plane is as good as anything else. What did you think of that? Like, what were the problems that that movie had?
Honestly, special effects.
What?
Special effects looked like old sci-fi.
I'm not even gonna hold you up. When I saw the trailers, I was looking like, yo, they did not put enough money into this.
Yeah. And then a few of the actors, like, you could tell they're like, I'm here for a paycheck, right?
That's the worst.
I mean, story wise, it was fine. They tried to take something out of lore and it was technically, I think, a different timeline, because I think they actually used that movie to launch Warlords of Draenor, which turned out to be the worst expansion yet.
Worse than Miss Pandaria.
I have a quick question. I know we're gonna talk about Sonic in a minute, but do you have a list of the highest grossing video game movies?
So Warcraft comes in at first, and only 6 million below it, Detective Pikachu.
Mm. I am shocked by that.
Followed by Rampage.
Rampage was good.
Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Awful. Yeah.
That was a bad
one. That
Resident
was really bad.
Resident Evil, the final chapter, holds the next place, along with Resident Evil Afterlife.
I forgot about all 85 of them damn movies. Yeah.
Yep. Oh, Assassin's Creed is actually higher than I would have liked it to be.
I really wanted that film to be good, but it wasn't.
Ugh. Yep. Yucks. Yucks.
But so it's basically like... So basically it's... Warcraft, Rampage, a bunch of Resident Evils, and
Tomb Raiders are
Tomb
in
Raider. Yep. Okay,
at least Angry Birds isn't on that list.
Correct. I actually, for the while, thought Angry Birds was higher than what
I think it was. The top Metacritic movie
that might have been.
I didn't hate Angry Birds.
I watched it.
It was
why?
Like, it was actually not a bad story.
For everything. Wait, hold on. These are live action, so that's why Angry Birds is
okay.
Still, Rick has a kid. He has an excuse to see something like Angry Birds.
We literally just had a Disney podcast last week. You have no excuse.
It doesn't mean you don't have an excuse to go see Angry Birds.
Angry Birds would come in at fifth.
Oh,
wow. That's depressing.
Any change
to number one? What's that?
Any change to number one? Is it still
No,
Warcraft?
No. It would be Warcraft, X Pikachu, Rampage, Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time, Angry Birds.
So, okay. Let's talk about Sonic the Hedgehog. Because, of course, it did have a great opening week. Sure, you want to start? Kick us off here.
I do want to start. Why? Only because I'm full of enthusiasm for this movie.
Why?
It was...
How?
Because I went in with the expectations of it not being, like, The Green Mile. I just expected a movie.
I actually want to see the Sonic Green Mile.
Dude, I actually would too.
If they'd have strapped James Marsden into the electric chair at the end and just
fried him
for treason, yeah.
It was a good movie, dude. Like I thought that there was a couple of fart jokes that bummed me out. I was bummed out that they essentially, like, one of the guys was just like, hey, do you remember in X-Men where we did that time in a bottle scene? Yeah, we're just gonna do that a whole bunch. Like, they ripped that off. That made me sad, but it was a competent movie. Like, it was verging from my expectations going into being a complete just clusterfuck. Like, one of those movies that you walk out of feeling assaulted by. Do you remember the South Park episode where they talked about the new Indiana Jones and everything? And
they're like,
why are you raping him? That's how I was going to feel about my boy Sonic. But then it wasn't bad. Like, it was probably the vanilla ice cream of movies that I'm going to see.
Would
this
you have felt different if the graphics didn't get changed?
Absolutely. I think if anything, it may have been a galaxy brain fucking marketing move that here's a true conspiracy. I think they did it on purpose where they were like, is this what our movie's really going to look like? They're like, no. We're just doing that.
To hit the bare minimum of what I think is an acceptable video game movie, the first thing you have to do is don't try to make a one-to-one like representation of the video game because they're two completely different
mediums.
Sure, you can't do it, right? So long as the main character looks like he should and acts like he should.
You're working.
Baseline. Yeah. No, but
you're average right there.
But
and this movie did at least that.
I'll say this. I'm more so, you guys know, I talk shit about Nate's taste in movies all the time, right? But I'm also one of those people, I don't want to go to the movie theater and spend money and leave the house and have to spend $45 because I can't go to the movies by myself no more. That's not how it works when you're in a long-term relationship. So I got to go spend $45 to leave the house for okay. I'm not doing okay.
Yeah.
Even if I was going by myself, it's still $20. I'm not spending $20 for okay.
But that has nothing to do with the movie.
No. Yeah. So what I'm saying is everybody I've talked to has nobody's been as angry as Nate. Which, I mean, it's par for the course.
All cams.
Yeah, par for the course. But I've heard very few people go like, wow, it was actually legit amazing, and I was suggested to anyone.
Well, let me list the things that I think were above okay. I think Sonic as a character was pretty good. Maybe not like a, you know, forever type, like, you know how Mark Hamill plays the Joker and you're like, yep, that's forever what
that's Joker. You will always be the Joker.
Yeah. Sonic wasn't that Sonic, but he was damn good as far as like what it could have been.
Uh-huh.
I will also say while the plot was super clunky, it didn't get convoluted, right? Like, it was a very kind of straightforward get from here to go here to do the thing. Fine, I understand that. You know,
we didn't need Flashpoint with Sonic.
Yeah, like, I don't want fucking Sonic lore. Like, I don't want to have to go in and like, hey, did you read the companion Wikipedia before you went and saw it? No. Like, it was, they understood what the fuck they were getting into. And then I like Jim Carrey, man. Like, Jim Carrey was, like, he chewed the scenery in a little bit, but I would rather have Jim Carrey playing that character outside of anybody. I don't think anybody would have played a character like Dr. Robotnik as well in that setting.
As much as I love Jack Black, because I could have easily seen them putting him into that role.
Sure.
I don't know that I would have wanted to see that.
I would have hated Jack Black in that movie. I like Jack Black.
Who is your Sonic? Are you the later games, you know, when they actually started having stories beyond just like him chasing Robotnik? Or are you that 90s cartoon Sonic?
Chili Dog Sonic.
I'm Chili Dog Sonic.
Sonic Adventure 2, man, is probably my Sonic that I
So that's
started.
Halfway.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think I'm with you, Rick, that I didn't want to go and see Sonic, like, do loop-de-loops for, like, an hour and a half.
Yeah, that's been fucking stupid.
I get it. You know, there's some stuff that you're going to have to change. But in 90 minutes worth of movie, with a wise-cracking hedgehog,
yes.
Listen, I spent probably $80
that day.
Jesus Christ day.
Yes. I had an edible. I had dabs. I had a joint beforehand.
You did everything you could.
I was as lubricated for this movie as you possibly could be. I was ready to laugh. I was ready to chuckle. I was ready to guffaw even. I didn't even crack a fucking smile. Ooh. Not only did I not laugh the entire time, no one in my, I would say, reasonably full theater worth of children laughed either.
Hold on. Would you have been able to hear it in the coma you put yourself into?
Yes, I did. But the thing is that, like, it really is not funny. Like, the movie just isn't funny on its face. None of the quips work. None of the character interactions work. The sheriff, none of his motivations made any goddamn sense.
Jim Carrey, to be a good person.
Jim Carrey had exactly three scenes outside of the trailer. Like, did anyone else notice that? Like, 90% of his scenes took place in the fucking trailer that he arrived
in. His headquarters, yeah.
His Come on, if you're gonna, trailer. If you're gonna, if you're,
it was like if, a giant, like,
if
like
you're hiring
center.
Jim Carrey, yeah. Utilize him. In more than, like, that was,
I will say this.
That was 3 days worth of shooting.
I will say this, though. I am more excited for the inevitable Sonic 2 when we get actual Dr. Robotnik. Right? Because at the end is when he gets, like, you know, the crazy mustache. Mm-hmm. He's bald. He's been stranded on the Mushroom Planet for who knows how long.
Yeah.
So then he'll really be crazy. I can't wait to see what that
I mean, that like. I would have preferred if that transformation happened halfway through the movie.
Hmm. Yeah. Makes sense.
I don't know. Like, I was happy with Sonic. I was like, it was a positive experience in that these kids movies, especially with how movies are done by committee nowadays, right? Like, it's not just I write a script, I take it, somebody gives me money, I make it, yada yada. It's studios literally backpacking you the entire way.
Yeah.
This had the every opportunity to go very, very far into a dark, dark place of, like, the trailers that were shown before it were horrible compared
to cookie cutter shit.
Yes, like shit that before. Literally
with
I don't.
Gangster's Paradise.
Yes, or like Trolls, right? Like the new Trolls movies that's coming out was one of the trailers beforehand. That shit looks fucking terrible. Like, objectively, I don't think I could find a bright spot. It will be, they'll have the dance break in the middle. They'll have the message of, we've all got to come together and be friends.
It's actually Shrek 49 in disguise.
Yeah.
Like, I get it.
Exactly. Like, that kind of shit is what it could have been.
No, I guess
maybe I just judge it not based on what it is, but what it could have been.
Okay, that's fair. I have a couple of other complaints, though.
Just a couple?
Let me pull out my list real quick.
Yeah. Did they not have any kind of reference point for where the actors should be looking when they're talking to an animated character?
Well, here's why. It's because they changed the design. So when they redid it, they made them shorter.
Okay, let's talk about that character redesign. Okay. We all work with film, kinda. We all work with computers on a regular basis.
Yes.
Do you really think it's that difficult to change out a character model?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
To redo all the rigging for it?
They didn't redo any of the rigging. They literally just took out the character model and replaced it with a different character model. Didn't go back or reshoot They didn't reshoot any of the reference points, so you get an actor that's looking here, but the character's down there.
Yeah, or any
It was way worse than Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and Who Framed Roger Rabbit was, I think, the first time that they had ever tried that.
I will agree with Nate on this, because there's a few times, too, when James Marsden's character is, like, carrying Sonic around or picking him up, and something about it looked just a little bit off.
There's a point that I laughed at when, what movie is it with, that has, a Clint Eastwood baby, or a movie, he had a fake baby. Do you remember that movie?
Death Stranding?
No. God.
Shut up, Chad.
No, there's a movie where Bradley Cooper has like a fake baby and they're playing with a fake baby. There's a scene in the Sonic movie where James Marsden walks into his girlfriend's
sister's house and he has it covered up. There's no way Sonic is in that.
Yeah, like, and it's like,
it looks
obviously
like there's a
nothing
stick in
and
there.
He's just like swinging around. And so there's some chintzy parts, but I think that it could be forgiven. Considering that the studio did make the call to go back in and do it. They could have said, fuck you, internet. Like, I don't give a shit. Our guy's going to look and make eye. Would you rather have made eye contact, but have the old model? Or, eye contact's a little wonky, but you get the new, better looking Sonic.
I mean, but I don't know. Here's the question.
I don't think that original model was bad enough to just.
No, if that original model was kept in, kids, when they grow up, would talk about this the same way we talk about E.T.
Yes, or the Mario movie.
Shut the fuck up. I will fight you.
No, no, no. But I have a serious question, because I remember seeing the Detective Pikachu trailer.
Love that.
And going, you know what? It looks fun. Looks fine. Not sure if I want to go to theaters to see it.
Yeah.
That's fair.
That's totally fair.
I'm a very down on kids movies type person. Mm-hmm. I don't really like kids movies, whatever. But when I saw it on a plane, I was like, yo, I did myself a disservice by not going to see this movie when it was in theaters.
I agree. You know what, Norris? I really agree with that, because I did the same thing. I saw it on a plane, and when it came out, I was like, yeah, you know, I love Pokemon, but like, I'm the same way. I don't want to have to go to the theater.
So,
I don't want to have to do any of that shit. And yeah, like, when I saw it on the plane, I went, oh man,
I really should have saw this in theaters.
I fucked up.
Yeah, they were definitely different calibers of movie, for one.
Okay, and
Nintendo
that was really
movie or Nintendo money versus Sega money.
Well, and that was going to be sort of my question, because I still haven't seen Sonic, and I don't really care that I'm spoiled. But the thing is that I saw Detective Pikachu, and I saw a group of people and some filmmakers who actually gave two shits about Pokemon and what the world of Pokemon could be.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so, from what I hear from people, is that it's a fine kids movie, but that doesn't give me any hope for anybody who actually likes Sonic.
And I'd like to bring up something that you had actually said on a radio show, you know, when I'm like, it's a kids movie, what did you expect? And you brought up the fact that, you know, there's a bunch of shows like on Cartoon Network that are technically like kids cartoons, but adults can still get stuff out of them, right? And I think when it comes to kids show, they do fall in one of two categories. Because like, growing up, the kids shows that I watched were Spider-Man, X-Men, right? But they still had adult themes in them.
Yeah.
But there are also kids shows like Doc McStuffins, which definitely don't have that, but are still good kid shows.
Sure.
And you're right. In this case, Detective Pikachu is one of those. Sonic is on the other side.
Yeah.
I think that maybe Sonic was written by someone who is passionate about it, but when it comes to the actual filmmakers, maybe not. Because there were actually a lot of really cool nods in there, right?
There were a couple
the
of
music
things.
Cool. Nod at the end,
Easter egg,
or the fact when they were being chased by that car, and every time they destroy it, another piece would come out. Like, that's how the boss fights work. You destroy part of it, but there'd be another fucking robot inside of it.
I liked, you had mentioned that the piano bit near the end. The other thing that I liked was in the bar, he eats chili dogs.
Yep.
So, you know, you get a nice little throwback to the cartoon even. And so those things I appreciated. But at the same time, yeah, I don't feel like whoever wrote this had a whole lot of reverence for Sonic. And I don't think you need to either, right? Like, I don't think that this, like Weird Bearded said, I don't think you need Sonic lore. I didn't need Sonic lore.
Whereas with
all
something
I needed,
like Pokemon, there's tons of lore you can draw from.
But it's different, though, because, like, you're telling a story that exists inside the Pokemon world.
Yeah.
You took Sonic out of his world and put him into ours.
Yeah. Look,
it instantly becomes different.
It's the exact same argument that I always use for like the Super Mario Brothers movie. what would you, like it was being made, right? You can't just go, I wouldn't have made it, because they had the rights and they were going to make a fucking movie, right?
Yeah.
So whether it's Sonic or it's Mario, what does a movie like that in the real world even look
like?
Well,
but again, that goes to my point, or not my previous point, but that goes to the point of... People really need to pick better video games to make movies out of.
Agreed. See, and this is the root of my complaint about Sonic, is I would not have chosen Sonic to make a movie out of.
So even to your point, and I know you love the Mario Brothers movie, but Mario's not a good series to try to translate into film. It's hard enough to try to explain somebody what the fuck Mario is ever about anyway. Yeah.
Well, they're going
to
try and do it again.
Yeah, I know. And... if you not on acid, prepare yourself, because you're not going to know what's going on.
It's not Mario, but if they make a Luigi's Mansion movie, I'm in. I'm watching that.
But even here to add commentary. But even Luigi's Mansion makes more sense, because Luigi's Mansion has a directive. Yeah. Like he has a very clear directive and a very clear sort of, you know, enemy. In that sense, right? But when I look at how many video games exist, and I look at how many video games would have made absolutely fucking amazing movies. Dude.
Metal Gear Solid.
No, not even that. Tell me right now that Lost Odyssey would not be one of the greatest films put together if the right people did it. Because it would.
My issue with some of these games, it has to be an HBO miniseries. Is like...
no, make it a film.
You play the game, and it's like, okay, I got the story. So it's like, why... it's kind of like when we talked about Dragon Quest. Like, I really didn't need it, because I thought, when I originally came in, I thought it was going to be like just a retelling of 5.
Sure.
Which, in some cases, it was. But...
well, for 99% of it was.
For 99% of it was. That's the kind of thing I don't know... I kind of don't mind with Sonic. Is like, okay, so this is a character. He could be placed kind of anywhere. It doesn't really matter that, like, the story changes, because his stories change all the time.
Yeah.
Where if you took a Final Fantasy, like, that's the story.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I kind of get your point, but then that goes back to... My previous point of reverence to a character, or reverence to a series or a franchise, where I watched, you know, Detective Pikachu, and that wasn't about Ash Ketchum or Misty or Brock or any of the characters that we really knew or cared about. It was a completely original story, right? And yet it felt like the most Pokemon thing I had ever watched since I watched the Mewtwo movie.
True, but so even the games don't have Ash or any, like, they've referenced Misty, but like it's not like the following storyline of Ash.
But even then, we're not talking about any of the gym leaders. We didn't talk about any of that stuff.
Yeah.
So it still felt intrinsic. Physically, like, part of that universe, but at the same time having nothing to do with it.
But the difference is, you're right, is something like the Detective Pikachu movie, Nintendo had hands-on with that. They had rules, they had people watching, they know what their product is and how they wanted it to be portrayed, right?
Sure.
I just looked up, just for fun, the writers for the Sonic movie.
Yeah.
Two of them are the dudes who have done some National Lampoon stuff, and the other guy is the dude who did 22 Jump Street, Freaks of Nature, and the Cloverfield Paradox.
None of those, I would say, are amazing movies.
No.
Yeah.
I would not say any of those are great.
If you've got National Lampoon's credits, I expect your movies to actually make me laugh.
I mean, that's
early
facts.
Or late National Lampoon stuff?
Because
early stuff, yes. Late, it got...
yes.
That's a good point.
Okay, late, no.
No, but I mean, like, as... no, I'm talking about National Lampoon's as, like, a establishment of comedy, right? Like, if you come through SNL, I expect you to be funny.
Yes.
If you come through Second City, or if you come through The Groundlings, or UCB, I expect you to be funny. There are different degrees of funny, granted.
Yeah.
I don't expect you to be subversive if you're a National Lampoon's writer, but I at least expect you to know how to craft a joke that can make me giggle. And again, I was as prepared for this movie as I possibly could be. Did not giggle once. I think that to me was a major indictment, because if you're quipping and wisecracking and getting nothing in return, you're basically just R2-D2 and C-3PO from Clone Wars.
Oh, that's the worst.
It is. It is. The robot factory sequence, it is the worst. And that's all I can think of is, like, if you tell, like, three jokes in a row that do not land with anyone in the theater, go back to the drawing board.
Has anyone seen Hitman?
No.
No? Okay. I wanted to I see. Have. Okay. Because I haven't... have a vague
man
remember.
Y'all got a shitty taste.
I'm not saying it's good. I just wanted to say, but that was a kind of like the same thing with Sonic, where you could kind of take that character, make a story around it that's not a story that you put in the game.
That's fair. I agree with that.
So it doesn't matter, unlike what they did with Assassin's Creed, and we're like, we're gonna just like change things up a bit, and it just got real weird.
And the thing with me with something like Assassin's Creed, which I did see and then forgot 90% of it because it's really not great.
I watched the first 30 minutes and turned it off.
But the thing is that if you took the first Assassin's Creed, did a little more exposition at the beginning of it, there's your movie.
Yeah.
The movie's done.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't understand when it comes to that sort of stuff, but I'll probably watch Sonic on a plane.
And like, you won't be disappointed.
See, if I had watched it on a plane, I probably would have been fine with it.
Yeah.
But because I went to the movie theater and I paid the money and I did all the premiums and all that shit.
The premiums.
Yeah.
You were going into it.
That's exactly what it is.
I saw your tweet. You're like, I don't want to be here. So you're going into it with that attitude. So maybe if you had a different attitude.
Because I don't like being at the theater.
That's fair.
It's not convenient. It's not cheap. I just, there's nothing about it that is enjoyable, except for the seats, the chairs, the reclining chairs. That's it.
You must admit, there are certain films you have to go to the theater for.
No doubt.
You have no choice.
No doubt.
So
Pacific Rim?
You got to. Any Marvel film.
Yeah, really? Not every Marvel, but like if you have a specific attachment to that character or storyline.
Any Marvel film with more than one Marvel hero.
There you go. There you go. Yes.
Back to the theater.
Yes. I agree with that. Yes.
So I would say
Endgame was
fast,
for sure.
Fast series movies go to the theater.
Come on.
Fast and Furious?
You can watch that on a plane.
Fuck off.
No.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Go to
the theater,
sir. They
are bungee jumping cars off cliffs onto magnetic stealth planes. You gotta see it on the big screen.
Yes. I don't have to see it at all,
no,
actually.
Sir, I saw a man take a car.
Sir?
Sir. Sir. I saw a man take a sports car and jump it from one tower of a skyscraper in Abu Dhabi into another skyscraper, park it perfectly, jump out, and start whooping people's ass without missing a beat, okay? I need to see that.
Could he have done that without the aid of computers?
He was The Rock. Yes, he could.
So, no.
Was it The
Rock? Yes, he could. I'm pretty sure he was in it at one point or another.
That was Vin Diesel that time.
If The Rock is in a film, you need them muscles on high def anyway.
I will say, if Rock's in a movie, I'm okay with it, even if it is bad.
All right. That's where we're going to have to leave the discussion for today. Thanks so much for joining us for Checkpoint AFK. CheckpointXP.com is where you can find out more info about all of our shows, interviews from past episodes, and a whole lot more. Find it all over at CheckpointXP.com. Stay up to date on all the latest by following us on social media. That's CheckpointXP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. And if you like the show, consider dropping by our Apple Podcast feed and giving us a rating and review. We'll read it right here on the show.
Hulk hands.
Checkpoint XP is a production of Beasley Esports XP. For the Checkpoint XP crew, Weird Beard, Jed Callahan, Robbie Landis, and Norris Howard, my name's Abe Bender. Keep listening.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.